please welcome Julie Mayer and David Schultz.
We've been asked to talk about the creative industries and technology enablement. What we hope to give you is a pair of glasses for what I call entrepreneur country. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about the messenger, because the message is embedded in the messenger. I'm going to take you into a day in entrepreneur country, share with you some key thinkers who are framing this next age, talk about ecosystem economics, how to build a global leader, and some predictions for the financing of entrepreneurship. So Ariadne Capital, we're in our 12th year. I set this up after I sold my last business first Tuesday. And Ariadne, of course, was the Greek princess who helped Theseus get through the labyrinth with the golden thread. And that's what we like to do, is to help the entrepreneurs that we work with get through their labyrinth. And we have worked with six explosive growth companies like Skype, like Monetize, which is worth $500 million, Beat That Quote, which we sold to Google, Spinvox, which was backed by Goldman Sachs, and eSpotting, which had the original business model, which Google later adopted. So we work with explosive growth companies and help them get through the labyrinth. These are some of the kind of major themes and companies that we've worked with. We've spotted some important trends early, and what we're good at is really following, identifying and following entrepreneurs. So a lot of venture capitalists are very deep technologists, and David is very good at technology, which is why I wanted him along with me. One of our premises is that we look at the world and we think that capital follows ideas. It always has, and it always will. The past 22 years, really, for me, have been an object lesson in not focusing on the money and focusing on the ideas and executing and communicating the ideas. And it's been, for me personally, a real interesting exercise in how capital is really just looking for a return. It's looking for the ideas which are going to shape the world. And we certainly see in the venture capital space that there's a lot of venture capitalists who are focused, really, on thinking that the money starts the party, that they're the smartest people in the room. And as I said just a moment ago, we really think that it's all about the entrepreneur. It's about the people with the right ideas that are going to shape the next age. I came to the conclusion a couple years ago. We were bringing our portfolio companies together. One year, the theme was entrepreneur country. And I said, no, I kind of like that. You know, that's kind of, every entrepreneur feels that they go to a different country every day. And frankly, that nobody else can really understand unless they were sitting in their shoes of the pressure of cash flow, banks that pull overdraft, products that don't ship on time, people pulling sick days when they're not really sick. You name it. You could probably fill in the rest of the gaps there, right? Entrepreneurs feel that pressure, and they feel that they go to a different country and that nobody really understands that. And I kind of were breakthrough moments, triumph over near-death experiences, right? Near-death experiences and the breakthrough moments every 24 hours. And I came to the conclusion as we kind of dived into the financial crisis, I said, you know, actually it would be good if more people went to entrepreneur country. It'd be really good if we can invite more of society to come to entrepreneur country and really understand what's going on there. And then I came to a kind of bigger conclusion that, frankly, we are all going to entrepreneur country. I can't see how this plays out, the resolution of the crisis that we're in and the kind of next stage, if you will, after we get deleveraged and we get kind of through this downturn and so forth. What's on the other side of that? And I would argue that that's really entrepreneur country. So financiers have always backed the industrialists of the day, and we see finance and technology really as tools for industrialists to create high-growth businesses. I don't speak of a technology industry or finance industry. I see them both as tools to drive the creation of high-growth businesses. So who are the new industrialists in the digital age? These are the people that we need to know, and these are the people that we're trying to follow. Well, I think the new industrialists are the digital entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurship is really a game of asymmetrical warfare. Wherever you find your merry group of men, whether you're in a, you know, Israeli military together or some garage in Palo Alto or in the, you know, the halls of Cambridge University, wherever you find your compatriots that you decide to set up your firm, you are a merry band of brothers or sisters that pull together and are playing a game of asymmetrical warfare, except that they don't necessarily feel that they are the ones without the strong situation, right? So in their mind, they have everything to play for, and the world may see them as, poof, you know, these guys are going to get wiped the floor with. They're going to go splat. But the entrepreneurs stay focused on that blue ocean. whatever uncontested market space they can see. They don't see an ocean which is full of ships moving around, a kind of red ocean where you iterate and everything is a kind of evolutionary space. In their mind, they see a big, wide blue ocean. And that's what keeps them going. The second idea is really around this notion of individual capitalism. Now, Iqbal Khedir, who's the founder of the Grameen Phone, he said capitalism was about empowered authority, which didn't necessarily activate the citizenry. The internet stands that on its head and shifts the power to the individual, making individual capitalism the force of the 21st century. And what does that mean? Well, I ask you, do you know anyone under 30 who thinks that they work for somebody anymore? No, right? And I put in that category the four people at Ariadne Capital who are under 30. I guarantee you that on Friday nights, they don't go around saying, I work for Ariadne or I work for Julie Meyer. They're talking about what they're going to do next in terms of the businesses that they run, they're going to run or they're set up or which piece of it. But they think of themselves as their own brand. They think of themselves as their own P&L. I think this has a lot of implications as well in terms of that new social contract, the new blueprint that comes in entrepreneur country. The role of the individual, government, and business is being completely reworked. And it's going to be driven by individual capitalists. The problem is, if there's a problem, is that corporates and government necessarily have not woken up to the fact that the individual capitalists are on the rise, that they are going to be the force of the 21st century. Now, Clay Shirky wrote a book called Cognitive Surplus and How That Will Change the World. And he talks about this great spare time revolution. He says, where did those 100 million hours come from of human activity that it took to build Wikipedia? Right? 100 million hours, where did they come from? We haven't, you know, grown the human race that quickly. Well, it turns out that television time has been redirected. We're spending time, and some people, frankly, have an obsession with Wikipedia. We're investing in media online. Everything is about conversation rather than broadcast. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind in terms of taking any product or service to market. But if there's one concept that I hope that you will take away from this talk tonight, is that there's a fundamental network orientation to business, frankly, to life. Everything has gone network. If you're still thinking linearly or hierarchically in any aspect of your life, your world, I really encourage you to update your thinking because the world has gone irretrievably networked. That's what, if there's a structural change which is happening in the world today, it's about the network. It's about the way companies are connected in a network.
When talking about creative industries, we obviously have to not wonder what it is because it's a very, very broad term. You know, we've got advertising, theatre, dance, games, writing, architecture, music, TV, film, graphics, fashion. But what's really, really interesting is that there's not a single one of these that isn't touched by technology in some way, shape or form. And so what does this marriage or this potential marriage bring to us? And how as we in the UK can really leverage that to continue to kick the ball out of the ballpark? The industry itself really is an enormous part of the UK economy, and it's growing. And one of the really, really fantastic things for me is creativity is an emotional industry. It's one where you have to connect with what it is that you're making, what it is that you're selling to your audience, and what it is that you're buying or interacting with. Technology is actually emotional. We don't go out and buy these Mac computers, or we don't go out and buy the latest cell phones that look fantastic if we didn't have an emotional connection to them anymore. And I think this is very much to Julie's point. The consumerization of technology moves to a point where it's about brand, it's about who I am. It's about how I want to look and how I want to work and operate with the world. And understanding that and then understanding how the creative sector can get involved in that, can shape that and can enhance that is a really, really powerful tool. So if you look at where creativity is winning today, it's where the technology enables creativity to get into more hands, more pockets, more thoughts. ScreenReach is an example of a company in Newcastle that have put an application on your cell phone, very, very simple to easy to use, and provides a captive audience at a football game, for instance, with an ability to interact with the players, an ability to give their feedback and their thoughts, their own individual perception of what's going on, the man of the match. And so what they're doing is they're taking technology and they're giving you a voice, they're giving you a creative input into what's going on in a football game. So technology wins big, I think, when it enables us to overcome a perceived pain of doing something. There isn't a better time in history to start a business as an individual. In the past, you had to have huge amounts of money to set up factories to make clothes. Now you can find somebody in India who will make those clothes for you. You can find somebody in the US who can tell you what the trends and fashions are that are going on in New York Fashion Week at the same time as it's going on in Paris and Milan and London. all of a sudden you have this globally connected environment to create and to shape minds. So I think creativity thrives with technology. And we've seen this in every way that technologies come up. People are creating technology, so technology creation in itself is a creative endeavor. But if we look at the ecosystem of getting things into the marketplace, design is technology powered. So people can design more efficiently. People can test things more quickly and get feedback because of what the computer systems enable us to design and what they can do and how they enable us to do things faster. Advertising is technology powered. So the data and the feedback that comes out of it enables us to say, well, am I going to serve this ad? Am I going to serve that ad on Google? Influence is tech powered. Who doesn't today believe that in some way, shape, or form, Twitter is one of the most influential environments for people to interrupt and interact? I mean, if you look at the uprising in the Arab world and how Twitter was such a fundamental part of shaping an opinion. Media is tech powered. So getting your content into the media, getting your content across media, that has to be technology. Distribution, again. So, you know, it's everything really going around and enabling an audience of people who you want to interact with, people that you want to share ideas with. And the best way to do so is to enhance and embrace your technological view. As Julie said, you know, we live in this world of individual capitalism. You can shape something by saying something and people pick up on it. You really need to understand who it is who's engaging with you. The more you can understand about your market and the more you can grab from the market the information that they're giving to you, either on Twitter or on your feedback pages or by not buying, you have an ability to understand, actually, I'm getting this right or I'm getting this really wrong. So you can do things better, you can do things faster, and therefore you can accelerate your growth into a global marketplace. We're in the best possible time, like no other, to really adopt technology as the enabler of everything business. And if we don't do it, we'll be left behind. Because what technology enables us to do is to find those people who want to engage with us. It enables us to find those people who want to pay for our products. It enables us to find those people who will give us the real and valid feedback that turns around and says, your product is actually really good, but you're missing the mark here. And the more quickly we can understand that, the more quickly we can identify those concepts and make our business more successful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.